Hey, it's Lauren. Thank you so much for listening to The Afterlight. Enjoy the episode. This episode has been brought to you by me and my business, Lauren Grace Inspirations. I am a channel of the light and work with spirit guides, angels, the higher self, and passed over loved ones to provide you with support, clarity, and encouragement. Using oracle cards, mediumship, and clairvoyance, my readings will leave you feeling comforted and empowered. I have various reading options available, ranging from 30-minute readings to 60-minute readings to group sessions. I also work with professionals to help them gain clarity in business and life purpose. To book a reading with me, simply head to LaurenGraceInspirations.com. Enjoy the episode. Hi, Lauren Grace here, and welcome to The Afterlight. I'm joined today by Candace Plant. She is an intuitive light worker. She found her spiritual path after years of struggling with depression and illness, which led to debilitating anxiety. Doctor's visits and psychologist appointments finally led to a diagnosis of PTSD, severe anxiety, and depression. Desperate to manage and heal her condition, Candace discovered crystals and holistic healing therapies. 6 years on, Candace is now a transpersonal crystal healer, Saraswati healing practitioner, and Reiki practitioner, currently undergoing master teacher training. Following her heart and assisting others on their healing journeys, Candace founded Larimar Light Healing, a safe healing space in Bacchus, March. Candace's healing techniques offer emotional and physical release, deeper self-awareness, increased energy and vitality, and empowerment to transform and improve overall well-being. And Candace is joining me today to talk about all things crystals. We're going to be talking about connecting with the crystal kingdom, how to work with crystals, how to find the perfect crystal for you, and who else? Who knows what else we're going to get up to? I almost called you Crystal. No, Candace. Candace, welcome to the show. Thank you for being
here. Thank you so much, Lauren. I'm so excited to be here. And yeah, thank you so much for having me.
So I often find that when I connect with people on the show that a lot of them have undergone, you know, difficulty in their life, and it's really sort of kickstarted their spiritual journey. Was that what sort of started for you, or have you always been spiritual, or did it kind of start with some of your challenges with anxiety and depression, as I mentioned in your bio?
Yeah, so I was never spiritual, never touched a crystal, kind of had a bit of an aversion to all of it, didn't understand any of it. So I was sort of thrust into this when 6 years ago I had been struggling a lot with illness and with a whole heap of things that I did not put down to anything in particular. I didn't label it. It all was just life, and it just kept compounding onto itself. And and then one day, at the worst possible time, like, you know, you say there's never a good time. Well, this was seriously the worst time. My husband is an airline pilot, and he was training in the middle of his training and assessments to become a captain. So it was about the most stressful time you could possibly have. And my body just shut down. Mm-hmm. I ended up in emergency. I had what I didn't know at the time was a major panic attack, which I didn't know what was happening. I was just overwhelmed. My body was just rejecting, and he had some kind of assessment the next day, which of course he was going through the hardest part of his career. And so I was lying in bed trying to breathe through this, what was coming up for me. And I had no idea. And so for 8 hours, because I didn't want to make a peep, I tried to breathe through with no training on breath work at all. And I ended up making my life a lot worse. So my hands became completely paralyzed. So I think I was breathing the paramedics at the time. I didn't quite understand it, but the paramedics said, so what I was doing is I was breathing out more than I was breathing in. So my blood, the oxygen, carbon dioxide, and my blood was completely wrong. And my hands just paralyzed. And when I woke up, I said, there's something wrong. I didn't wake up. I was awake all night. But when my husband said, you know, what's going on? I sort of showed him my hands, and he tried to stretch them out. He thought I was being silly. And I just screamed. He couldn't move them.
Oh my God.
There's something so wrong. We have to go. Like, how long has this been happening? And I'm like, all night. So they had been paralyzed for about an hour at that point, and they were paralyzed for about 5 hours. So emergency, in the ambulance, off I go, and didn't understand at all. So I was sort of just thrust into it. And when you don't know what's happening, you go to the emergency, and they get you down and they calm you down, and then you're kind of pushed out on your own with maybe a referral to a doctor. And, you know, I didn't really know where to go with it. So I saw a psychologist, and she kept saying meditation, meditation. So I'm like, okay, I'll look into meditation. So I looked into meditation. She's like, guided meditations. And, you know, meditations are very much about breath work. So a lot of meditations, they tell you,
right,
I struggled with, to control your breathing. And for someone who had ended up with, you know, a 12-hour ordeal,
yeah,
their breath, it just sent me into panic mode every time I tried to meditate. So in just a desperate attempt to find a way, I suppose, to cope, because it was debilitating. From that day, couldn't function as an adult. I couldn't look after my daughter. My husband was still going through. It was incredible how this man stood by me and didn't get angry, and didn't oh, he was just amazing and so supportive. But so he had to still go through everything he was going through for his work, but they were amazing. They adjusted his work for me, which was amazing. So I found I was reading all these different techniques. I was trying all these different meditations and things while seeing my psychologist. And all of them were just making me worse, and sending me into more panic attacks. And then I found crystals, or I found something on the internet, I think, that mentioned, you know, meditating with crystals. So I went out and I bought this. I just went into a crystal shop and I found this one crystal. I didn't know anything about crystals at the time, and I just thought, pretty rocks. I really did.
Yeah.
I picked up this lapis lazuli, and I have it here. It's so I know this is a podcast, so I can't really. It's so little. It's about the size of a 5-cent piece, or 3 5-cent pieces, like stuck together. It's so little. And I was like, right, I'm just going to meditate. So I lied down, I stuck this thing on my head, and I thought, oh, my brain is going or whatever. And I just felt this womp, womp, womp energy on my third eye. And I was like, okay, this is the first connection I'd had to anything that just kind of settled me. In the first thing that didn't require me to try and understand what was going on, it just sort of made me feel calmer and it gave me something to focus on. And I'm like, I can do this. And the obsession started from there. And I just started reading and grabbing books, the Crystal Bible and by Judy Hall, and just going and with my shopping list of things that were going to fix me, right? Going to the crystal stores and going, I need this, 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 and this, and just trying and playing. I still use my tiny little lapis lazuli. It's still one of my staples in my healings. And I even use that now on clients, because she's a workhorse. Like, she knows what she's doing. She does her stuff. But I fell in love, and it was amazing to have a tool that was able to get me out of what was going on. I didn't care what it meant. I didn't care that it was totally against everything that I, you know, believed previously. I'm like, this works for me. So I need to, you know, I need to do more. And
wow.
Understand, because, you know, it was a very, very, very long process. yeah, like years and years to get to a point where I could, but this was my one little thing that I could kind of hold on to and make things okay, even if it was just for that 10 minutes or whatever. It was just that lifeline to keep my head above water.
Well, thank you for sharing your story. Yeah. It's so, you know, it's so difficult and sucks that you had to go through that. And I mean, and obviously you've chosen, you know, an amazing partner to support you. You chose well.
As well, yes.
Yeah. When you were going through that, was it just like a constant state of anxiety? Were you kind of always in your head? Were those some of the things that you were struggling with before you found, you know, that crystals could really help you?
Yeah. So I was, it's like something triggered in my brain. It went from, I really didn't think I had any depression, any anxiety I prior to this day, this moment where everything changed for me. And so what I would go through in my head, I was just in a constant state of fear. It felt like, and I can't even, I wouldn't even call it anxiety, because I feel like anxiety is something that comes and goes. I was terrified. I was terrified of being alone.
You're like on the edge all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. It was constantly, my body was constantly in fight, but it wasn't even in fight. It was, you know, just it, I couldn't sleep. I couldn't do daily things. I was in constant tears. And I did not understand a thing about why it had come on. Nothing had particularly triggered it. There was no major event that happened. It's just like my body just decided, you have ignored me for this long. Mm-hmm. I've been giving you signs, and I did have signs. Absolutely. I think we all have signs. And I just had signs for years and years and years. And it just gave up, and it felt like I had this, you know, they say like depression and anxiety is like having a cloud over your head, and it really is. You can feel it. You feel it. It feels like you're in this constant downward spiral, and you can't get out. Mm-hmm. I didn't see a way forward at all. I felt worthless, completely worthless. So getting help, in the sense of investing in myself, investing in, by the way, of finding a healer, which of course at that stage was not even on my radar. So yeah, it was really, really hard to cope with, and to even just keep going forward, mm-hmm. as far as that went.
Well, it teaches you a certain resilience, and, you know, obviously we would wish that on no one, but it's made you able to share your story, and I'm sure connect with our listener at home and or people that they may know. And it's also assisted you and set you into a completely different, you know, career path. And, you know, I find that like you would never wish that on anyone, but when someone's gone through that and they share their gift or the ways that they overcame adversity or the ways that they're learning to do it on a daily basis, you know, I think it's just when they can use that skill to help other people, then it just shows how brave they were to sign up for that in the first place. You know?
Yeah. And I get that, because if you had have asked me at the time, worst experience, like couldn't see a way out, worst experience of my life. Yeah. Don't really want to go back and do it again.
No.
But probably the biggest and best moment of my life, because it's like since that moment, I've transitioned into who I am, whereas before I wasn't, and I did not have, it's like the universe just said, you're ready. Yeah. And sorry, this is going to be painful, because it really, really was. And I'm a, you know, you ask my, you know, my husband said, like, you know, I am a stubborn person. So when I want something or when I'm going to do something, I'm just going to do it. Like, so when this all came and everything just piled on top of me, he knew that I was going to do the work to get out of it. And I didn't want medication, because I wanted to, I I wanted to feel it. I didn't want to stretch this out for years and years and years. I needed to feel it because I needed to understand it. It came out of nowhere. It was just, bam, here it is. And then within, 6 months, I had all these diagnoses and which, diagnosis are just, it's trauma and symptoms. That's really all it comes down to. It's a trauma that I had to heal and symptoms. But yeah, it just crazy moment. And would I, to get to the same spot, I would do it again. I would hope that I've healed enough now that I don't have to do it in the same capacity now. Yeah. But Lauren, it's layers, isn't it? It's like an onion. We just keep healing layers.
Yeah, we do. And sometimes it's just like, I'm so over it.
Me too.
I don't want to do that anymore. I'm okay. Like, yeah. I want to be a master now.
Yeah, exactly. Just ascend me already. Take me in. Yeah.
So let's get into the subject of crystals because, there's a lot for us to discuss. And I think that, until people work with crystals, they don't always really understand their power. And I think that, even for someone like myself, I'm surrounded by beautiful crystals. I don't think that I've actually been able to use them at the potential that I could be using them at, So I'm really interested in finding out from you a little bit about where you source your crystals, different crystals that you have, your essentials in your toolkit. If you've got suggestions for people dealing with depression, anxiety, maybe even manifestation, what you might recommend. But before we get there, let's talk a little bit about, maybe different ways that crystals can be used. So you've mentioned healing. Is that primarily what you would use a crystal for, or can they also be used for, generating, let's say, money or opportunity or anything like that?
Yeah. So, crystals predominantly change the energy. They change your frequency because they, like all matter has frequency and has an energy to it. And crystals just hold these beautiful vibrations. So I say predominantly crystals are for healing, but for the sense that if you are trying to manifest something like wealth or abundance or clients for your business or whatever it is,
tick, I'm listening.
You are blocking. So there is something within you that needs to be healed in order to remove the blocks that you have. We are in an infinitely abundant universe, and it wants to provide for us. So even though, people say, oh yes, I use this crystal for abundance. Yeah, that's true in a way, but it's also, I feel like it's not, because I feel like what you're doing is by possessing that crystal and either putting it in a grid for manifestation or working with it. My favorite way is working with it on the body. I like body to body. It's like the crystals have a body, but to me, they do. So it's really soul to soul. You kind of, that connection with the crystal. And I feel 100% that you are healing that blockage to manifest whatever it is into your life, whether it is for health or to ease your anxiety and to be more vibrant or to heal a trauma. All of that comes down to, to healing, to reprogramming your body, just to release what's not necessary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, when you're talking, it's interesting because sometimes I'll meditate and I'll be thinking, oh, like my mama amethyst wants to be with me. And I go, yeah, but I can like disconnect because she's over there. I can feel her. But I really do need to hold on to her. You're right. I do need to have that and, have that exchange, in a physical way. I love that instead of just making it an intention. One of the things that I got like this visual when you were talking about how, if you're holding onto the crystal and you have your energy, let's pretend you have a lot of fear. Okay. Or you have a lot of worry or maybe an inability to receive or, your challenge with that or something, that it's almost like in a way I kind of imagine that the crystal is like sucking all of that into them and then transmuting it and processing it out the other side. Saw that visual and went, whoa, it's like a filter.
Absolutely. Which is why you need to cleanse your crystals, which most of us don't do often enough. And when you're using them on your body, you definitely want to do that regularly, because they do, they draw that energy, they draw that blockage. Now they're only going to draw what you're ready to heal. And what you're ready to let go of, because we have free will and you can have every intention. But if you are so deeply attached to the stories we told ourselves, the stories we're taught, the programming that we have, if you're deeply attached to that still and you're not ready, then the crystal is only going to be able to do what you're ready for in a way. But they, you know, they also, by removing that energy and kind of transmuting that energy, they then are able to fill you with, most of them, some of them not so much, but most of them are able to fill you with that peace and that loving energy. Some of them are a bit harsher and but definitely.
Yeah, they have different energies, and we'll get into that a little bit later, because I definitely feel for myself a difference between, you know, maybe hematite and citrine, you know.
Absolutely.
And
there's definitely, if you're going through a period of anxiety or depression, there would be certain crystals that initially, if you'll open up a book and they'll say, this is amazing for it. There are certain crystals that even on the healing table with, you know, with my experience and knowledge now, that I still wouldn't put, because there's energies that you do want to work gently, and you want to be able to, you know, ground that energy down. So there is a science to it in a way. And a lot of the time I say, follow your intuition when you are buying a crystal. So you go there with a shopping list, and you can absolutely get your shopping list, because I still do it. I tell myself not to, but I still do it. I go in there going, I want this. And then there's one, that's that crystal that sits on the shelf, and I go, I'm going to get to you one day. But when you walk in and you know what you need, you'll feel it. You'll feel drawn to something. But there are definitely crystals that will have too heavy an energy or have too fast of a detoxing energy for anxiety and depression. And I definitely used a few of those initially, and they, you know, kind of set me back. I felt them a little bit too heavy.
Or they did things too fast for you. You know, it sounds to me like it's about understanding, you know, I think that, you know, especially as kids, you know, we see crystals, we're like, oh, these are beautiful. We don't really think about them in terms of having properties that they can be useful as a tool. But, you know, very often people will respect their oracle cards or their pendulums or things. It's the same with the crystal kingdom, isn't it? Connecting with the energy and respecting that they are powerful, that there are things that you can use them for, that they all have these different abilities. Yeah. Do you kind of look, you talked earlier about your lapis lazuli thing. I was going to say lazuli, but that's I guess it's lazuli. Yeah.
Lazuli. Oh, I pronounce all of them wrong because I learned from a crystal book. And so now one of my favorite crystals is a moss agate. And I know it's pronounced agate, but I say agate and I'm not going to change because I've connected to it as my moss agate.
It's just a name.
Tomato.
Exactly. And me being Canadian, you Australian also makes it harder. So, you know,
exactly.
But that being said,
it's something to talk about.
Yeah, I mean, you talked about her as a she, like you said, she, and you had that kind of connection. So I guess my question to you is, you know, one of the things I learned recently from a friend is, she goes, Lauren, everything has a soul. Your anxiety has a soul. Your cells, they all have souls. And when I was thinking about that, I thought, wow, how absolutely beautiful when you look at everything around you and you go, that's got a soul and that's got a soul. And so is it the same that you find with crystals? You know, and we know that crystals come from the elemental kingdom. So talk to me a little bit about, you know, building these relationships and understanding that crystals have their personalities, you know, and sometimes they're not happy with where you put them, damn it.
Absolutely. No, you're absolutely spot on. So I mean, I have multiple moss agate crystals, and they are very different. My favorite one, the one that I use for me and only me, because it's been a staple for me from pretty much the start, I don't use with clients because he is very protective and I have this connection with him. I have other ones, Mossar Gates, that I use with clients because I use this crystal a lot in healing, especially when it comes to depression and anxiety and stuff like that. But the best way, so it comes from spending time with them and meditating with them. And that seems like a really big chore, especially when
when you have 25, you're like, which one do I pick?
Oh, you just have 25? I have about 325. It's crazy.
Okay, maybe I have 30.
And but, and I work at a crystal store now. Really, really bad. So definitely, initially I was like, I just wanted to put these on my body and make it all go away. But it's only when, you know, I started to learn more and the more time I spent with certain crystals, I got this connection and I would feel that, you know, the more you work with, especially if you just work with one, so take my lapis lazuli because, you know,
favorite.
So you put that instantly when I put that crystal on my third eye or wherever I want to work with it, I will feel that energy instantly. And it'll have that effect straight away. Whereas, you know, if you haven't taken time to connect with a crystal, then yeah, it can take a little bit of time and you might put it on and it's a little bit more gentle or I have
it's like
this
a friendship, isn't it?
Yeah,
a friendship. It is. You've been ignoring your friend.
And it you know, I get exactly. And I think scientifically, I guess if you can call it scientifically, there's probably a reason. Our bodies probably aren't ready or they just reject that new frequency and maybe our frequency can line up a lot quicker. There's probably a very scientific explanation. I like to think I've connected to this, you know, this soul. And if you definitely know my favorites because there are certain ones that I'm like, don't touch that one. That's just for me. We don't share. So, and there's other ones that, like the lapis lazuli, my lapis lazuli just connected with me. And, you know, I just knew that I needed to share it in my healing space with others.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about sourcing crystals because you did sort of talk about how when you're going to go get a crystal, you know, maybe look it up, come up with, you know, something that you're wanting to work on, go to your shopping list, go to Judy Hall's book, you know, choose it or else go in with your intention and see what kind of grabs you. Right.
Absolutely. Yes.
But one of the things that we are seeing a lot of is a huge, you know, surge in people wanting crystals. And then you have people that are really like all crystal, you know, like you, I'll point at you for that. That have many of them. So I guess my question is, you know, how do you ethically source crystals? Does that matter? And while I'm saying that to you, I'm actually just going to grab it, which isn't very good for the podcast, but you guys just hold one second.
Well, I can probably start to tell you.
But yeah. I wanted to show you this. And if, you know, for people on the show who are listening to this, they're like, Lauren, that wasn't very cool. Yeah, well, it is what it is, my show. You can go to YouTube and you can watch. So, but I have this. So it's like a crystal ball and it's called Cat's Eye. Okay. And when I was at the market, I saw it and it said to me, I need to go take me home with you. And I went, all right. And it was like at a good price point. Anyway, I asked where it came from, but this is when I was already buying it. And she had already talked to me. Like she had already said, I need out of here. And I just knew it was for me. And they said, no, like it was made in China. And I thought, oh God, this just doesn't, what's happened here? So I felt really weird about it for a second. And then I just thought, you know what? She is a soul. She asked me to take her out of this place and take her home. And now she's here. So any thoughts on that? Yeah, it's kind of a big one, but
yeah. So as far as, you covered a lot of different things. So as far as like, that's okay. As far as like manufactured crystals go, I'm not against them. I don't use them in my healing space with others, with clients, but I do feel if you are drawn to a crystal, so vibrationally, they still have a vibrational property. They still have a healing property. And you're even going to find, you know, if you walk past a pebble in a stream. That pebble has been there being worn away by the water for however many years or decades or whatever. That stone, that crystal, that rock has a journey that it could take with you. So I do definitely believe that if it calls to you, it calls to you, and it doesn't matter where it came from. But I don't like, there's a lot of crystals that are heat treated, which I just, for my own practice, I don't like to use that. But I do respect that in a way they do have the same or similar enough properties that you can still use them for the purpose. So if I say to someone, okay, go get citrine, is going to be amazing. It's a beautiful, uplifting. It's definitely a crystal for abundance. Almost everybody has seen or heard of citrine. Mm-hmm. But these, so probably 90% of citrine, yes. Oh, and yours is natural.
I've got a beautiful citrine.
You've got a beautiful citrine, yes. And yours is a natural citrine, which is gorgeous. But most of them, that bright yellow, is heat treated. And most of it is amethyst that's been heat treated into citrine. So
okay, whoa. So when something is heat treated, is the cue that it's in a natural color, or like it's a really vibrant?
It's really vibrant. So it's usually heat treated to make it more vibrant. Yours looks definitely.
That's a
raw natural citrine as well.
Okay.
So when it has that, those tips on it. And I have, I do have heat treated citrine points, because you can't get them. I struggle to get raw citrine points for using them in healings. But yeah, I prefer not to use them because they are not in their most natural state. And
yeah, it's kind of like pure honey versus raw honey, right?
Yeah. I just find that they're a bit quieter with their energy as far as how potent I find them to be. They still have benefits. Absolutely. Call me a crystal snob or whatever, but you will find.
Well, we want to have the discussion, because it's important that people make informed decisions as well. You know, that's what this is about. Yeah.
And I definitely wouldn't say if you've got heat treated anything there, you know, there are, you might've heard of like aura quartz and stuff like that. They have been chemically treated to make them have that beautiful aura quality to them. Now, if you read in the books, that will say that they have a different energetic quality. I haven't worked a lot with them. So for me to personally know that, yes, that's the way it is, I don't know. But I generally don't work with crystals like that, because there are so many beautiful natural crystals.
Yeah.
And they are, like, there are just, the colors are vibrant without being heat treated, or you know, when they're polished up. And as far as polished or raw, it really comes down to personal taste and what you like.
Yeah.
Sourcing them ethically is another really hard thing. I have, you know, a few beautiful crystal stores that I go to. Going to a reputable seller is a great way. Being really mindful of online, you know, I like to be able to, most of the time, I like to be able to hold a crystal before I buy it, because I want to connect. I work with them therapeutically. I'm working with them for clients. So I would rarely, rarely, rarely buy a crystal without seeing it, holding it, mm-hmm. feeling it, unless it was from one of my favorite suppliers that I know is, you know, sourcing it ethically. And, you know, and you'll know, because if you contact this supplier, they should be able to tell you the origins, you know, where it came from. And, and of course they can lie, but you can generally.
What ethics are important to you? Like, I guess when I think about sourcing ethically, I guess for me, it was about, you know, I don't know. I guess not doing it in a respectful. I don't think I've really asked myself this question very much. This is great.
I know.
This is great radio. Yeah. So, you know, I guess I'm thinking about the fact that, you know, I want it to be taken from a place where, you know, it's not, the labor is fairly paid or absolutely, people aren't in danger.
Yeah.
I also am not a fan of man-made stuff. I don't want to support that industry. And I, you know, and then that's why I was like, oh no, I've just bought a man-made crystal ball. But yeah. So anyway, I'm not trying to sound like a hypocrite with that. It was just, it needed to come home with me. I already knew. So maybe there'll be somewhere I change my mind, but in general, yeah. I don't like, although the man-made kind of puts less strain maybe on the world, or maybe it does because of, I don't know. It's confusing. I shouldn't have opened up this conversation
without being more informed. I think the industry is getting better as far as making things ethical, and you're absolutely spot on. It's making sure that the, you know, that the environment's being protected.
Yeah.
And that, you know, the workers are being fairly treated, and that, you know, we're not overmining or destroying the, yes, you know, the environment in order to source these crystals. And I guess it comes down to a lot of things. It comes down to trust, because it's like anything, we can be told ethically, sustainably, you know, you, yeah, go down the rabbit hole, sustainable fishing, all these sorts of things.
Yeah,
you're, yeah, like, well, how sustainable is it really? So
yeah, and I'm in marketing, so believe me.
Buzzwords with
yeah, let's add rustic and vintage to, yes, this table here, which is like, you know, 10 years old or something.
Well born. Yeah, exactly. So
yeah, but I guess it's just, you know, like you said, doing the research, double checking. If you find yourself buying a man-made crystal that really has just begged to take you home, you know, maybe listen to
you
that.
You saved her.
Yeah, yeah. if that's you know, in line with your ethos, your values. It's about people doing what's going to be right for them. But I like having the discussions because I want people to sometimes think about it, you know.
Absolutely.
And for, yeah, me, I always want to learn and think about it myself as well. So, you know, let's talk a little bit about, you know, when you're working with a crystal, you know, do you sort of bring it home? Do you cleanse it? I know there's different ways of cleansing and not cleansing crystals. You know, for example, I'm a huge fan of selenite. I have selenite everywhere. I have like a big, yes, selenite plant. I put my cards on those.
Yeah.
I use selenite all the time, but I know you're not supposed to put selenite underwater. Also, right, selenite is self-cleansing. Mm-hmm. Do you have to cleanse it? So I'd love to know a little bit about, how do you cleanse crystals when you have them? And then, you know, how do you then later program and actually work with them? If you would, yeah.
Yeah, of course. Well, for one, you nailed it with selenite. I don't have to say anything.
Okay, but do you have to cleanse selenite at all?
No, like not at
sage
all.
Or, no, okay.
No, you don't need to. It charges and cleanses everything in its, so depending on its shape, everything either in its vicinity, or I like to use,
I have lots of different ones, like,
yeah,
wands,
beautiful
wands and
yeah,
raw, lots of raw selenite I have, because I'm a fan of the, I like the raw as well.
Yeah. So raw selenite, mm, like that in those little wands, those tiny little sticks, is perfect for popping on top of your door frames.
Oh.
So if you have not done that,
I
want you to go get some.
Okay, let me just write this down. Action number one.
Yeah. So okay, they're a few dollars. They're those tiny little ones that, you know, it does not have to be big at all. They're the small little rods, and you just place them on top of your door frames. They never need to be cleansed. They never need to be charged. They don't need to be programmed because they know what they're doing. And so it basically will cleanse your energy and uplift your energy whenever you walk into a room. So I have them on every door in the house, garage door, definitely at the front door, so that when people come in, or they come into my healing space, of course I would still sage and cleanse or whatever, but it just provides that little bit of cleansing, that little bit of, you know, that little barrier just creates this gorgeous curtain of crystal energy that cleanses as you walk through. So beautiful for cleansing a room, beautiful for cleansing our energy. One of my number one crystals for if you want to start connecting with crystals, Selenite is a beautiful one. It's so high vibrational. Mm-hmm. You pop one in each hand and you should start to feel the energy kind of flowing in that infinity figure eight kind of feeling between your two hands rushing through your body. It's one of my favorite crystals for helping people connect to crystals for the very first time. So yes, when you buy a crystal, try and if you can definitely connect with it beforehand, buy it from somewhere that you know that they're at least sourcing high quality, genuine crystals, because there are a lot of non-genuine ones being sold. So that's why I like to go in and go to a reputable supplier.
Distributor,
I always, so if you've bought it from a really good supplier, then they will cleanse their healing, their store or whatever regularly. So yeah. Technically, other than the crystal store I work with, we cleanse constantly. So the energy of the crystals is always maintained. And yes, people pick them up and it will take on a little bit, but they shouldn't be heavy, energetic, you know, crystals that desperately need to be cleansed. If you pick up a crystal that feels heavy, then you're probably not going to connect with it anyway. So it doesn't make a lot of business sense to me.
That's correct. Cleanse
already.
Yeah, that's cleanse so and good.
Like program or whatever. So my favorite way is I struggle with waiting for the new moon and putting, I have a lot of crystals. I put them all outside. It would be no.
Just get a wheelbarrow full.
It would take me a whole day just to. I have a big backyard, but my backyard, I don't even think is big enough with to deal with the amount of crystals that I would have to go out. And also, every time you connect with a crystal or you meditate with a crystal, you want to cleanse that energy off it. So waiting until the end of the month is basically meaning that if you're working with the crystal, then you're not giving it a shower at the end of the day, I suppose. My favorite way, the way I recommend for everyone, is to do exactly what you're doing, which is have either a little piece of something this big or something bigger in selenite and just popping your crystal, literally setting it on top of it and leaving it for, you know, a few hours at least, overnight is perfect. I use for my healing space because I, you know, if I have multiple clients and you know, I can't have, you know, six different, you know, rose quartz or rhodonites or whatever, if I'm using multiple on a client, then I will use a sound bowl, a singing bowl.
Mm.
So bells are a beautiful way of cleansing. So sound energy, you can, if you have like little Tibetan bowls or Tibetan bells, sorry, or a singing bowl, that's a beautiful way of, and it's very, very quick as well, which is beautiful. Yeah. I always use Reiki for mine. Not everybody has that at their disposal, but that cleanses the energy very, very quickly.
Bells, do you like go and you like ding it over top?
Yeah, so I
cleanse,
just kind
cleanse,
of,
cleanse, ding, ding, it's ding.
It's a little bit more ceremonial than
just okay.
Clanging some.
Yeah, exactly.
I would usually put the crystal, say, on the table and then just ding the bell in three or four directions around it to kind of just encapsulate it in that energy. And once you've connected with your crystal a little bit, it'll tell you. You'll either go, okay, this is, yep, I'm done. I'm done dinging. This is, it's ready. Yeah. Or the energy will feel lighter.
Okay.
And it's exactly the same. So you can use the same principles for cleansing your room, your space, yourself as a person. So same thing. It's, selenite, use your wand, go around, just imagine the light from out of the end of your selenite, just radiating out and transmuting that energy, I think is a beautiful way of cleansing your space. And the bowls and stuff as well are beautiful. So
I love that. Okay. So now that you've cleansed your crystal or you bring a crystal home with you, mm-hmm. Yes. Do you then sort of sit in meditation with it and you know, talk to it a little bit? Do you say, hello, welcome to my home, little one?
I love that.
Yeah, I feel my heart so I can receive more money.
Yeah, tell it what it needs to do. Yeah, so I will usually, well, see, when I go to a crystal store, I don't usually come out with just one thing. So generally they get set aside, and sadly they do get prioritized. Shh, don't tell them.
Yeah.
So I like to work with one crystal at a time when I'm first connecting, which when you have hundreds of crystals is a lot. So that's why I always say, when you're starting out, you don't need a lot of crystals. I would start with 3 or 4 if you're gonna work. And I can, you know, if we have time, I can kind of go through that, or we can save it for another day or whatever. But yeah, so I always take my crystal and kind of hold it to my heart and just say, you know, something along the lines of, you know, thank you for coming into my life, and let's work together, you know, show me how, you know, we can work with each other. And then I will, depending on what the crystal is and how big it is, because sometimes we get the big ones. So depending on how big it is and how will depend on how I connect with it. So if it's as small as my little lapis lazuli, then it'll go on the corresponding chakra. Or if it's sort of a palm stone, I might choose to just, you know, set it in my hand and sit. I'd like to do a lot of my meditations now in seated position, on the floor, where I can connect to Mother Earth. But that was not the way when I first started. So when I first started, I found it easier to just release and connect and let go of the sensations in my body by lying down. So if you're definitely new to crystals, just start by lying down. You can pop them in your hand still, place it on your heart with your hands over the top, however you'll feel. Because if you put it on your body and if you don't understand where to put it, that's okay, because it'll tell you. You'll sort of put it somewhere and you'll be like, oh, that doesn't feel, I don't feel anything. And then you'll put it somewhere and you'll start to feel that energy, or it'll light up, or it'll feel really happy or heavy or uncomfortable. Like it'll just tell you whether it's supposed to be there or not. So definitely trying to spend 5 or 10 minutes at least with your crystal consistently over, you know, a few days to a week is beautiful. I try and give each of my crystals, especially for my healing space, an entire week, which means I won't work with any other crystal other than with my clients. So with my clients, of course I will, but that crystal that I connect with and that I love at that week, I want to connect with it, understand it, because you don't get it all from books. It's very, very different when you're working with, and it, as you said before, it does have its own personality. You'll see every crystal looks slightly different. So it might have more of a certain element or a certain mineral in it that changes that vibration slightly. So I definitely do that. Sometimes if it's not a super heavy crystal, I don't do this so much with the really dark crystals, it'll go underneath my pillow. It will just depend. If I have wild, crazy dreams and it really affects my sleep, then it'll come back out and I'll say, okay, well, I learned something from you and you're not going back in my bed. Just like a partner. No, we're not compatible in that way. So anything from sort of the heart up is generally great underneath your pillow. Apart from moonstone, don't do moonstone in the full moon. That's one that I learned hard way. So they're my main ways, and it doesn't have to be a whole big thing. 5 to 10 minutes a day and you can connect with it. A lot of people pop it in their pocket. I just find that I like, you know, skin to skin, even if you can say that.
Yeah, I like that you said that, though. And I think that, you know, when I got that transmuting visual, the sponge, and it just made a lot of sense. It made it that, you know, you're wanting to, if you don't have a crystal just because it's beautiful to look at, you have it to work with.
Yeah.
You know, you want to build that friendship with it. that relationship Absolutely. With it. Yeah,
absolutely. And I totally agree that you can call on the energy of a crystal that you don't have with you.
Yeah.
But in order to do that properly, you do need to have a relationship with it.
Yeah, that's so, a good one.
You know, you do need that connection, I feel. Some people might disagree, but I feel. And you asked before, and I wanted to go back. Sorry, I'm going around in circles.
Yeah, yeah.
But you asked before about programming crystals, and this is quite controversial, because a lot of people say, yes, you have to program it. You have to tell it what you want or what you want from the crystal. And I've always been, so initially that was absolutely, I would be really specific, and I would hold it and I would say, you know, thank you, little lapis lazuli, for deepening my meditation and helping with me, with my self-expression and easing my anxiety and whatever. I don't do that now. Once you connect with a crystal and you talk to it, you don't, it knows. And I feel like it's a little bit like calling in energies and calling in spirits and working with the deities and angels and stuff like that. I feel like we limit ourselves, and we limit the capacity that we can get from crystals by telling it what we want.
Yeah, yeah. And that's why when you're manifesting, you always go, this or something better.
Yeah, exactly. And I do feel, and it might, a lot of, I and I totally respect that other people are all about the programming, and I think, yep, absolutely go for it. Mm-hmm. But for me personally, it's the same as when I choose crystals when I'm working with clients based on the properties and the relationship I know that I have with those crystals. So based on what I know that they can do. But then I trust the crystals and my experience with working and moving the energies and stuff. I trust the crystals to give them what they need, which is far beyond their knowledge, and their healing power is far beyond what I can comprehend. So
yeah.
Like, and allowing them to connect with that soul and work with them in that way.
I like that a lot. And I think when I've worked with crystals before, number one, when I buy them, I know what they're here for, and I feel like they know what they're here for. So we don't really need to have that conversation.
Yeah.
That being said, I have sat with them before where, you know, I've just kind of let them know my intention, I suppose.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So I think I love what you're talking about. And that kind of actually helps me with my next question, because I wanted to ask you, one of the things that I struggle with is remembering what they're all for. So I have I have certain ones that I know what they're for. And if you quizzed me, I would go, I don't really know much beyond, you know, the ones that I work with.
Absolutely.
So I guess my question to you is, you know, how do you remember all of these properties? And is it part of the fact that you're intentional about building relationships with them, that it's just like getting to know a friend? We're like, I know you, you know, we met, you know, in circle. I know these things about you, you know, and I know that about you. I don't have to remember it because I just know you. So is it like that? Is it that you actually, to assist you in maybe recalling these things, or is it study? Got to go to school, got to put in the work.
So initially it was study, but even so, part of my PTSD is that my memory is not great. So aspects of my, so the study didn't really help me as far as, so I can't easily recite, unless I've connected and worked with a crystal, I can't easily recite. I rely a lot on spirit when people ask me. You know, my intuition comes in and tells me. As soon as I hold a crystal, I'll pretty much now, even if it's a crystal I haven't worked with, I will be able to get a sense. And this is the thing, you start to tune in more. And I have done, you know, crystal healing courses and Reiki and all these sorts of things. So it has helped. Initially, I loved just being able to open up a book and read and go, wow, this is going to fix everything.
I just need to meditate with it on my forehead. Job done.
My life. yeah, for sure. So I don't feel that you need to know everything about a crystal. I think it's enough to be drawn to it. And especially if you know, I guess, the chakra that you're wanting to work with, or if you're wanting something for grounding, then I definitely wouldn't be, you know, going, any crystal is great for that. Mm-hmm. But generally, if you grab a crystal and you're trying to get grounded, you'll be able to feel the, you should be able to feel the difference, or you'll feel the difference the next day if you've spent half an hour meditating with a crystal that's completely the opposite of what you were going for. Flashcards and things like that. Instagram and is great. You know, just, I think the thing is that you don't need to, if you keep your crystal collection small, I don't lead by example on that. If you keep your, initially, if you keep your crystal collection small, then you'll know all your crystals by soul in a way, and you'll know how you want to work with them, and you'll be able to, you know, yeah. And I think it's very, again, it could be a bit controversial, but I feel like I've noticed it in myself. It's very my ego getting in the way, needing to be able to recite the book as to how this crystal works and how, you know, its healing properties and stuff like that. Because I think everybody, you know, Moss Agate, one of my favorite crystals, is great for anti-inflammatory properties and beautiful for new beginnings. It's just it's an incredible crystal. But what one person will be gravitated to it for compared to someone else, or whether someone will even feel need pull all those benefits out of that crystal or work with the crystal in that way. I do feel like it's how you work with crystals, and consistency, just like with everything, and how much you're willing to, how much you're ready for it, how much you're willing to release, how much you're trying to hold on to. The crystals definitely help ease you into that. But yeah, I think we put so much emphasis on knowledge and knowing, and I think it should be far more about feeling.
Yeah. Oh, that's so good. Well, we're nearing the end of our time together. I was sort of hoping that, I know it's, are you okay to talk for
chatterboxes?
So why don't we go over maybe some essential crystals for somebody with anxiety, depression, and
it depends which aspect of those things. So they are definitely different, especially someone who's suffering from anxiety and someone who's suffering from depression. However, I do have a little toolkit of crystals that I would probably recommend for either of those sorts of things. Mm-hmm. So my first one would be, so for grounding, my first one would be smoky quartz. So smoky quartz is beautiful because it is, well, I find one of the least heavy grounding crystals.
Yeah, I never thought of it for grounding before.
Yeah, so it's a grounding crystal without, you know, so when you're in depression or anxiety or whatever, I worked with a lot of very, very heavy grounding crystals because, you know, I was just trying to do all the things. And they can feel like a sack of potatoes running straight down your chakras and just, and, you know, drop you down. So when you're dealing with anxiety and depression, I am very, very, very cautious. Or even with children, especially if they've got anxieties and things like that, I'm very cautious with using anything too much heavier than smoky quartz.
Okay.
Or recommending. I'm like, if you're going to start, smoky quartz is your way to go. It alleviates fear. It's beautiful. It's great for releasing negative emotions, and it does it all very gently.
Yes.
So smoky quartz is a big one. Rhodonite is probably my recommendation for heart. I know a lot of people say rose quartz. I have an aversion to rose quartz, and I'd say amethyst and the bright yellow heat treated citrine, because I think they're everywhere, and they're, you know, I feel that there are
other choices, but they're just so not many as common, so we don't know. Because I have a lot of rose quartz, but I never really thought about rhodonite. I can I can see it in my head though, and it's pink too. Or is it green?
Yes,
or
are there both? This one,
green and pink. Beautiful. Yeah. Okay. Beautiful. Are there green like sometimes in it?
Rhodonite. You might be thinking of rhodochrosonite that has like lines through it.
Okay.
So rhodonite is beautiful for trauma. So it heals past trauma really, really, really gently. And it sits beautifully in the heart. It's great for self-forgiveness and forgiveness of those who have wronged you or been a part of that trauma, because that's a huge part of getting past anxiety and things like that. So I just find it's soft and gentle. It's beautiful for anxiety, beautiful for self-love. It's probably my number one above rose quartz and all those sorts of
things. I'm going to get one.
Definitely. Gorgeous, really, really beautiful to connect with, and pop it on your heart chakra. Gorgeous. Selenite, of course, because you need it for cleansing as well as just allowing that high vibrational energy. And Larimar is my other one. Larimar, of course, I named my business after it, but it's beautiful. It just oozes peace and calm. It's gorgeous for emotional trauma. It's beautiful for meditation, to get you into a meditation state without sending you on too much of a meditation trip, right? Yeah. And when you've got anxiety and stuff, you do still need to be. Yeah. So they're all very gentle. And Moss Agate is, of course, my other one, because gorgeous for the heart, but mostly for the anti-inflammatory properties. So when you have anxiety and depression and stuff, your body generally stores these triggers in your body. And it's different for everyone, but it's generally stored as inflammation. So it might be gut, it might be skin inflammation or whatever. I just find Moss Agate is beautiful for anxiety, depression, and taking and easing those side effect symptoms that also happen, not just the heart flutters and all that, the things that kind of start triggering you going, oh, I don't feel very well. Oh no, I've got it coming on. So it just helps to ease those yucky body feelings as well.
I love that. If someone wanting to look at crystals for healing, would you kind of recommend the same ones that you've done for anxiety and depression? Because there's a lot of healing within that. Or would you have to kind of look at what they're healing?
It really comes down to what they're healing. Yeah. So that I did transpersonal crystal healing, which is really, so if someone came to me and said, oh, I get migraines. Oh, okay. So here's, you know, the internet will tell you, here's four crystals that are great for migraines. See you later. But what I try to do is we need to work out why. There are 50 different, 150 different reasons why you could have, you know, migraines. And a lot of them are, yes, stress related, but they could come down to, you know, childhood things or society things or stresses that are totally manageable, or, you know, food intolerances and all these sorts of things that come together. So it really comes down to working out where it's coming from, where else, because where, you know, you probably know that you might have a pain here, but really there's, you know, it's because you kicked your foot or the body works really strangely sometimes. Yeah.
There's a loose tooth.
Okay. Exactly. Yeah. I have a loose tooth and, oh, why is my knee so sore? It really works like that. So it's, there would be, a million different.
Yeah. Different options for you. Okay. How about two more categories? Cause these are the ones I'm also particularly interested in. So I have heard you when you've talked about saying that, you know, let's talk about manifesting. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I know that citrine is really good for manifesting, for example.
Yes.
I am hearing you that you kind of need to identify, or maybe you don't even need to consciously know, I guess, what's blocking you from manifesting. But for me, I realize now that the heart is the gate of everything.
Absolutely.
So for manifesting, and I guess I mean anything, you know, Would you have to maybe clear quartz? Would you do that because you get a clear idea, or is that not, does that just basically level up the other crystals you're working with?
Clear quartz is an amplifier. So yeah. I never use clear quartz on its own.
On its own. Yeah.
Ever. Because if you've got anxiety or something in your body, it will amplify it. It will amplify the energy of whatever's close to it. So it's great for using in grids. It's great for using on the body if you're, you know, amplifying a different crystal. It is a beautiful crystal. Other people are more than happy to use it on its own, and I respect that totally. But for me,
I don't either. I keep it with my citrine.
Yeah, and myself. Yeah. So I love lapis lazuli for manifesting. It is, so it's got, lapis lazuli has pyrite in it. Pyrite is fool's gold. So, yes, exactly. It's like a double whammy. So I find lapis lazuli to be very empowering crystal. It is a, you know, it's a goddess crystal. It's a crystal that was used in Egypt in, you know, the pyramids, and it's a real sacred crystal. So I find it's got that real empowering quality to it. So I love to use lapis lazuli when I'm trying to manifest anything. So definitely be using it around your citrine, because it puts you in an empowering place to create.
So I should have it on my desk.
Yes.
It's tucked away because it's an necklace in another room.
But you can just, I'm thinking and I'm connecting to you.
Yeah. Okay. I'm learning a lot. Continue.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So those are the two. Would you say those are like the main ones maybe?
No, probably not. It really comes down to what you're trying to manifest. So citrine, pyrite, which is, you know, your fool's gold. I've got one here. Pyrite's beautiful. Ooh, for, isn't it gorgeous?
That.
Yeah, stunning. So clear quartz is great if you're creating a grid. That's a whole nother podcast that we can talk about.
Yeah, that really is. But I do want to ask you a quick question because I feel like spirit told me. You just showed me a beautiful crystal and there was a point on it. For our listener at home, there's a point. It looked a little bit like a pyramid, would you say? Or not a pyramid, like a column?
Yeah, so it's called an obelisk. I think I'm pronouncing it wrong. Okay.
Yeah.
Or a generator crystal.
Yeah, so you want the crystal point to point at you, right?
So this one here is, it's more, this one's more for having a, like for manifesting an intention. So I would put this in a room because you know, it takes your intention and it shoots it out into the universe and it can radiate that energy into your space.
So you have it up and down, like the way that it would naturally sit.
Now, if this was designed to be used for the body, so there are smaller kind of body like, so I've got this here. This here is a pointy quartz. It's an amphibole crystal. It's absolutely gorgeous. So I would use that if I was trying to remove, depending on whether I was trying to remove energy from the body, if I was trying to remove energy from the body, it would point away. The point would be pointing away. And if I was trying to direct it in, so I was trying to draw in the energy of the crystal. So outwards is detoxifying. Inwards is charging, basically.
Okay. So I have my selenite and my clear quartz and my citrine all together in a little lovely group pointing directly at me. Is that the right, if I want to manifest financial abundance, is that the right thing to do? Or would you put it up so you're freeing it up in the world to come in?
If I was going to create,
confused by that.
Yeah. there's no, it all comes down to your intention more than anything.
Right.
So if you've put it in there and you've set it on your table and you want it to, you know, from your, I'm just envisioning that you've got it like next to your computer and you're asking for clients to come from the computer and generate them and push them towards me. I love that. That feels really powerful for me.
Okay.
So definitely that would totally, you know, be fine. And I would be more than happy to be like, yes, that's a beautiful way of manifesting that. If you were just creating a grid to send your send it out and to just manifest, if you wanted to just kind of set it and forget it, which is one of those things we do, then I would have a point going up into the center, up into the sky, into the universe, and I would have clear quartz pointing inwards towards it.
Ooh.
And I would have other crystals like pyrite or lapis lazuli or even like some heart healing, like moss agate, heart healing crystal, and a new beginnings crystals around it in order to charge that new beginnings.
Cool. I like that. And the heart healing is like the helping you with the receptivity.
Exactly.
That's a recipe, basically.
It's the recipe. Exactly. It's like cooking, and I'm so bad at cooking. It's the recipe.
You cook up crystal concoctions. It's okay.
Exactly. It's the part we always forget. So we're like, I bought this pyrite, and why is it not making me rich? And it's like, because it's all that's doing one aspect, but you're not healing your heart to be open, or you're not healing your self-worth to feel worthy enough for what you want.
Yeah. That is good.
Yeah.
That was, I feel like a mic drop. Okay. That was so good. And okay. We're going to wrap up now. I want to ask you one more question.
Of course.
Because I think this is something that a lot of people can connect to in terms of crystal. Do you travel with a crystal?
I do.
So which are your essential ones for travel?
So I travel with my crystals of choice at the time.
Okay.
So if you're asking whether do I travel with them for protection,
healing or like keeping your like immune system built up, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah. So I focus on keeping my chakras and my heart open and my chakras. I feel like when you are aligned, then it creates a protection. You don't even need to set that. A lot of people like to travel with like obsidian or shungite to block out negative energies and stuff. And to me, that feels so heavy to be traveling around with a heavy shungite. I'm on holidays, man. I want to have fun. Leave that heavy energy at home. So I will literally just pack up the crystals that I will always take a selenite with me, because that's always going to be cleansing and charging. And it will really depend on, you know, what the intention of my, if I'm going to just have fun and let go, I might pack my sunstone. If I'm going like on a beach holiday, sunstone is a beautiful, it's a sacral chakra, and a little bit solar plexus, but so it's really about joy. It's about, kind of empowerment, and it's a really energizing crystal. So I do really love sunstone for those holidays that I maybe need to be on the go for.
You can see why you need 350 crystals, because when you're making, especially crystal grids, which is essentially like a pattern with your crystals, talking about the recipe of all these different things that go into it. That's fascinating. I love knowing that. But it makes sense why you need so many different ones.
I know. And I have so many different ones, and I do not create grids very often. I will usually only have one grid going at a time, because I prefer to work with them on my body. So most of my crystals are palm stones, which are, they're quite big.
Palm stone.
I love the weight on my body. I love to be able to sit and hold them. They feel really beautiful in your palm, and they're really lovely for connecting. Some of the smaller ones, especially if you're sitting upright and aligning your chakras, which is great for connecting with your crystal. Because by holding it in your hand, it allows that energy to move through your chakras without blockages. Whereas if you're sort of just sitting in a chair or slumped over a little bit, you want your spine perfectly aligned so that energy can go. I feel like I've gotten really off topic. I'm so sorry.
I don't think so. I think I was like, I'm getting it. I'm writing pages of notes. I'm here for it. It's all good. But I was thinking about how, one of my challenges is grounding. Because I'm always kind of a little bit up in la la land in my head. So, I use hematite because I know that's really heavy, but I feel like I need that. And I understand what you were talking about earlier about not using that with kids. So I also have smoky quartz, so I might try that. But I was thinking maybe I do need to look at getting some palm stones. That might help me.
So I spirit is telling me that you need to try galena.
Okay.
Galena.
I'll write it down.
It's got beautiful galactic energy. I feel this one the second I hold it. And it's probably for a few listeners. I don't recommend it for everybody. Lauren, your vibration there. Yeah. It's got very starseed kind of energy to it, but it's beautiful. It's very effective at grounding without shoving you into the ground. Gorgeous.
So it's more integration. I get that feels good to me. My girl, thank you so much for being on the show. We've had such a good time. I'm like saying we have. Well, I did. I hope you did too. It was so exciting. I just love this. And I know you're going to be joining us for the Afterlight Expo as well, which is kicking off May 2023, depending on when people listen to this. So we could do Q&As, and I thought we could talk about maybe working with crystals with your chakras, and maybe you could even give away some of those fabulous recipes that we kind of alluded to a little bit in this episode. So thank you for being here, my sister. Is there anything I didn't ask you that you wanted to talk about? How can people get a hold of you, get a reading? Do you do sort of like crystal prescriptions and recipes for people maybe over Zoom if they can't come and find you, and anything else you want to add?
Yeah, so I can certainly do those sorts of things and crystal prescriptions. And so you can reach me via my website, which is larimalighthealing.com.au. Instagram or Facebook is the best way, just at larimalighthealing. And I do Zoom for crystal healing and for Reiki and intuitive healing, as well as in my studio, my healing space, which if you're watching, you can see it behind me. So I'm expanding out to do a lot more things. So on my Instagram as of next week, because officially from next week, probably won't be next week, right?
But in the past, yes.
So it'll be in the past. It will already happen. How magical for everyone listening.
Yeah.
But I will be starting to do little profiles for crystals on my Instagram. So I will do really short videos, kind of just talking about my favorite crystal kind of the week, what I'm working with, so that I can kind of educate people. So it might be a really great way if you're new to crystals to learn a little bit and maybe just add them to your shopping list.
I love that. And I have a business idea for you, which I will tell you after I hit record I hit stop. Thank you so much for being here, my girl.
Thank you, darling. Thank you for having me.
Hi. Thanks so much for listening to the episode. I hope you enjoyed it. If you did, please leave us a review where you listen to your podcast and share it with your friends. Thank you. New episodes every Thursday.